So in the last webinar, we saw shloka number 11. Yadaksharam veda vido vadanti vishanti yadyatayo vita ragaha yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrehena pravakshye. And at that time, tatte padam, that Brahman, I will define briefly, sangrehena. That's what Krishna said. But I told at that time that he is going to say it in the next shloka. That was a mistake. Actually, he is going to show it only later. In the 20th shloka only, he is going to do that. But now we are going to read shloka number 12 today. Sarvadvarani samyamya manohridi niruddhyacha murdhnya adatmana pranam astito yoga dharanam. So in the following two shlokas, Krishna, he goes back again to the previous topic. And what is the previous topic? Prayana kalam. Remembering the Lord at the time of prayana kalam, at the time of marana. So some more details are also given here. What are the disciplines to be followed at the time of death? And as we said earlier, it is the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, that only is going to travel through the sushumna nadi. If you remember all these terms, I already defined what is sukshma shariram, the subtle body, and also the sushumna nadi. And the sukshma shariram must be withdrawn towards the hridayam, the heart. And later, through the sushumna nadi, it has to be taken. So that's what we said last webinar. And in the previous section, Krishna talked about the withdrawal of prana, the prana shakti. And here Krishna talks about the withdrawal of all the indriyas also. All of them should be withdrawn. So sarvadvarani, dwaram means gates. So sarvadvarani means sarva indriyani, all the gates, both jnanendriyas, the sense organs, and karmendriyas, the organs of action, they are all gates through which the jiva contacts or transacts with the external world. And five of these are entrance gates and the other five are exit gates. For example, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, belonging to the external world, they enter into us through these five gates. So we have the shrotrendriyam, the ears, tvakindriyam, the skin, chakshurindriyam, the eyes, rasanendriyam, the tongue, and granendriyam, the nose. So all these five indriyas, through these gates, they are the receiving gates through which information comes from all around. So having received the message from outside, for example, someone says, you come. Then that message enters through the ears, and immediately that message goes to the leg. And the karmendriya, leg, puts that into action. So it is the exit gate through which you contribute to the world back. So whether it is walking, whether it is speaking, mouth alone, for example, if you take among the other indriyas, mouth alone is a two-way traffic. All others are only one-way traffic. Mouth alone is two-way traffic because it also eats food and also it speaks material out. So all these indriyas, samyamya, having restrained all of them, having controlled all these indriyas, what does it mean? Worldly vivaharas should all be stopped. There should be no worldly vihara at all, should be cut off. So all relations are only because of the body only. If you really analyze it deeply, all the relationship that we have, they are all because of this body. Whether it is wife, whether it is husband, whether it is son or a friend or anybody. In the previous janma, these people were not my relatives perhaps. Mostly they were not. They and myself might not have been even humans. We don't even know that. So in the following janma also, we may not be humans also. So relationships are only through this body, this human body. When I am going to drop my body, my wife is not going to be my wife. I cannot say, okay, I lived with her for so many years, I love her so much. So in the next janma also, she should be my wife. No guarantee at all. So a cut off. So we should have understood this sufficiently early in life. This should have been understood sufficiently early. So death rehearsal is the most important rehearsal we have to practice. Krishna is telling a lot of shocking things in this chapter. So, rehearsal of death is the most important rehearsal that everyone has to practice. So, he says, Sarva dwarani samyamya, having snapped off, having cut off all vyavaharas, all transactions. Actually, Bhagavatam, etc., they brilliantly describe several of those things in lot of detail. So, restraining all the sense organs, and also we have to remember, this person being a yogi who has practiced all the Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, so all the sense control, everything. Like Kurma Angani Iva, actually we saw in chapter 2, Yada Samharate Chayam, Kurma Angani Iva, Sarvashaka. So as the tortoise, which will withdraw all its 5 organs, so this person, he has done yoga abhyasa, who could do that? So the only difference is what? In the yoga parlance, it is called pratyahara. In the Ashtanga Yoga, when I described earlier, it is pratyahara, whereas in Vedanta parlance, it is called dhamaha, ashamodamaha. So sense control is very important. So samyamya, samyamya means control, restraint. Thereafterwards what? Manaha hridi nirudhya. After the sense organs, then one has to come to the mind. So, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, all these things apply to the mind. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, all those things, they all depend on for the all other organs, indriyas, and for the mind, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So, manaha hridi nirudhya cha, having withdrawn the mind into the heart, hridi, hridayam, into the heart. Here manaha, mind, represents all 4 antakaranas. Mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. I have already told that also. When we describe the subtle body, there are 17 elements, 5 sense organs, 5 organs of actions, pancha prana daiha, all 5 pranas, manas, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara. So all these 4 faculties, they are called antakaranas or inner equipments, manas, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara, and all of them should be withdrawn into the hridayam. Hridaya means the locus of the mind. And in sleep also, our mind is supposed to be resolved into the hridayam only, into the heart only. How to do that? Can we plug the mind and place it inside the heart? Remember, in sushupti, that is in deep sleep, what happens? We say the mind is in the heart, which means the mind is not preoccupied with any other thought. That's what it means. So the mind being in the heart is the mind not being available for any preoccupation with any other thought, and that is called hridi niruddhya. So withdrawing the mind and putting it to the heart means that what it means. So mind is subsided. That subsiding of the mind is called hridaye sthapanam, established in the heart. So jnanendriyas are withdrawn, karmendriyas are withdrawn, antakaranas are withdrawn, and what is left out then? Only the prana. Prana alone is left out. So, atmanaha pranam murdni adaya. Bringing the prana. Atmanaha. Atmanaha means one's own. Here, atmanaha is a reflective pronoun. Swastya. So, bringing one's prana to what? To the top of the head. Murdha. So, bringing the prana to the top of the head. Previously, it was said, bruvor madhye. If you remember, between the 2 eyebrows. Now he says murdhi. So what does it mean? It means the sushumna nadi alone. If you remember, the sushumna nadi is supposed to start from the heart and goes through the inside of the throat, through the middle of the eyebrows, and to the top of the crown of the head and goes out. That's what we said earlier. So it begins in hridayam, goes through brumadhya, and also at the top of the crown, the head. So, in some places they may say, bring the prana to the hridayam. Other times they may say, to brumadhyam. Sometimes to the top of the head. All those things mean what? Bring the prana to the sushumna nadi and bring it up through that. So, in Taittiriya Upanishad, actually I don't know whether I mentioned about this quotation in the last webinar. Antarena taluke yayeshastana iva valambate se endra yonihi. Yatra sauke shanto nivartate vyapohya sirsha kapale. So through the kapalam, it is supposed to go up. through the sapavanam, it is supposed to go up through the middle. So, pranam murdhini adaya. Okay. So, it talks about prana. Finally, because prana is the one which has to guide the jiva. When the jiva goes out, what should guide the jiva? Prana alone should guide. And that too, udana prana. We told there are fivefold physiological functions. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. And the udana prana alone, that is going to play the main role at the time of death. So we may actually, when we get to see Prashna Upanishad, lot of discussion about urdhva nadi and all will come there. If we get to do that, we'll be able to see more details at that time. And then, while doing all of them, another thing also must be done. And what is that? Yoga dharana astitaha. Practicing the yogic concentration. So, pratyahara first, and then dharana, holding. Dhru, dharati, to hold. Holding what? Holding the mind. So, holding the mind in a particular field of upasana. That is called yoga dharana astitaha. So, how many conditions we have seen so far? Sense organs should be withdrawn, mind should be quietened, and then it has to be fixed on the particular upasya devata now. And upasya vishayam can be anyone. It could be, one can focus on any devata, it could be Hiranyagarbha, it could be Virat, or it could be any Ishta devata also. But Krishna wants to talk about here a particular upasana that is going to come actually in the next shloka. So, here the sentence actually is incomplete. With the next shloka only the sentence will be completed. And here what we have said in the shloka? Having restrained the senses, brought the mind to the hridayam, and withdrawn the prana to the top of the crown, practicing the yoga dharanam, then we have to continue in the next shloka that we will read. Shloka number 13. Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yaprayati tajandeham sayati paramam gatim. So various upasanas are there which an upasaka can do. We have seen several upasanas earlier. Here Krishna is talking about a particular upasana called Omkara upasana. That is, I meditate upon Brahman in the Omkara itself, in the pranava itself. So, if I cannot understand or grasp Brahman, then what to do? Because Brahman is, you know, Nirguna. I cannot understand what it is. So, if you want to symbolize that Brahman, then one can symbolize it in Omkara and meditate. This is called Omkara Upasana, taking the Omkara as an alambanam. I don't know whether I have used this word alambanam in this Gita lectures earlier. Alambanam means symbol for Brahman, and meditate upon it. So, but the point to remember is what? Whenever, whatever upasana a person practices at the time of death should be what he has been practicing throughout life. And that should be the rule. That is said here, Om iti vyaharanna. Utter vyaharan, utter the Omkara, which is ekaksharam. It is a word, it is a one word, one syllable word. And which is Brahma, a symbol for Brahma. It is a symbol for Brahman. It is also a name of Brahman. So it is a name and symbol both. If you take other forms, for example, Rama. Lord Rama is a name but not a symbol. And if you take Shiva Linga, Shiva Linga is a symbol but not a name. So we have to call, you know, some Ishwara, you know, Somaskanda Parameshwara, Chandramouli Ishwara, we have to say Ekambareshwara, we have to call by some names. But the lingam itself is only a symbol, does not represent the name also. Whereas Om is the name of Lord, Om is also the symbol of the Lord. So we can write, for example, the letter Om on a piece of paper and treat it as an idol also, as an image representing the Lord. So Brahma Vachakam, Brahma Pratikancha. That is Om. So there is no other name or symbol which does both these jobs. So pranava is that. So uttering the name of Omkara, which is a word with one syllable and also a symbol and name of Brahma, and while uttering again, remembering me, what me? The Ishwara, Brahman, which has been described as what? Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Sam. So, Mam Anusmaranne. So, you meditate upon me, Yaha Deham Tyajanne. Fulfilling all these conditions in this manner, one who drops the body, Deham Tyajati and Prayati. Prayati means travels. So, the one who drops the body and travels. What is this travel? We have already mentioned earlier. One refers to the Jivatma consisting of three things. One, the Chaitanyam. Two, the Karana Shariram. And three, the Sukshma Shariram. This bundle is called the Jiva. And this Jiva drops what? The Stula Shariram. So, it leaves the grass body. And this bundle of Chaitanyam, Karana Shariram, and Sukshma Shariram, that travels. Paramam Gatim Yati. It travels and attains the highest goal of liberation. Paramam Gatim. The Param Brahma, again, how? Understand that this is 8th chapter, through Kramadaha. So, by Kramamukti. So, Brahmaloka Praptidwaram Paramam Gatim Yati. So, by going to Brahmaloka, one can gain knowledge, self-knowledge there, and then get moksha. Sloka 14. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yoginaha. Actually, in the last 5 shlokas, Krishna, he talked about the condition in which a upasaka should die. So, if he has to attain krama mukti, so if somebody has to attain karma mukti, what are the conditions a person has to observe at the time of death? And the conditions, they all appear to be very, very severe. If you really look at all these conditions, people would think, what is happening here? That is, the prana, the sense organs must be all withdrawn. Mind should be steady. Mouth should utter the name of the Lord. Intense devotion should be there. So if you give all these conditions, Arjuna perhaps must have raised his eyebrows. Then perhaps you are all raising also. I'm not able to see you. But Arjuna also perhaps might have raised his eyebrows in disbelief. He might be thinking, what is this Krishna telling all these stories? So what are you really talking about? Murdini adaya pranam, sarvadvarani samyamya, manaha hridi nirudyacha, omiti ekaksharam vyaharanne, maha manusmaranne, all that conditions. So, condition after condition, and that too at what time? At the time of death, when all my organs are not in my control. My free will is not in my control. So, Arjuna finds it very difficult to believe. And so, Krishna says, it is possible. Not only it is possible, Krishna says, it is easy also. That is the beauty. So, that means it makes us even feel even bad. Tasya aham sulabaha. Sulabaha, it is easy. For whom? For a prepared person. A person who is already prepared. All the time Krishna's emphasis is what? In preparation only. We have to prepare for maranam. That is the emphasis throughout the 8th chapter. 8th chapter, if somebody views it as a very depressing chapter because it advocates so much of preparation towards death. If the birth of the child requires 10 months of preparation and living requires a lot of preparation. In fact, the entire education for 20-25 years is preparation only for what? For Grihastha Ashrama. And Grihastha Ashrama throughout, it was preparation for Vanaprastha Ashrama. And Vanaprastha Ashrama means what? He need not go out of the family, but mentally he must become Vanaprastha. No more members of the family. He should not feel that I am the driver anymore, but I am only just a guest in the family. That is a preparation during Grihastha Ashrama. And Vanaprastha Ashrama is preparation for what? Sannyasa Ashrama, for total mental detachment. And Sannyasa Ashrama is what? Is again preparation for Nishta. Brahmanishta, Atmanishta. So what we say is what? Throughout the life, we are only preparing for living. In some form or the other, we are only preparing for some living. We are never preparing for ourselves to die. All the time we keep on preparing only to live. So death or whatever has to be done at the time of death, they appear to be difficult because we are never prepared. And so Krishna says, preparation is a must. Preparation is a must. So, and that death will no more be a terrible thing, it will become then a welcome thing. If one is prepared, death will become a welcome thing. For example, like after summer, fall comes. After fall, winter comes, and so on. So this is just only change. Similarly, birth and death will be taken as part of life. Death is not the end of life, but death is also included as part of life. If you remember the Shat Vikaras, all the sixfold modifications, I used to quote all the time, Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Vinashyati. All these sixfold modifications, they are natural. So once this is completed, again Asti, Jayate, Vardate. So when you complete one cycle, you again go to the next cycle. So it is not enough. We prepare only for living. We have to prepare for dying also. And that's what Krishna says. What preparation Krishna suggests here? Yaha satatam ananya chetaha. The one who does not fix the mind in anything else other than me. One who does not fix his mind on anything else other than me. That means what? The one who remembers me as the main thing in life, in and through all of one's day-to-day life, day-to-day viharas, only thinking about me all the time. So all viharas will take place in the conscious mind. That's true. But in the subconscious mind, constant thought of the Lord alone should be there. Like for example, the musicians, they have the shruti during any concert. You know, the musician might keep changing all the ragas, singing, everything. But one corner of his mind is constantly aware of the Shruti. Therefore, if I have the thought of the Lord all the time, and if I choose Lord over every other thing in life, that is called Ananya Chetaha. Priority determines our commitment all the time. This is one method to find out where our mind is. Actually, this where your mind is, what is the priority, if you know, we can know where our mind is. And there is also a second method. Whenever we are free, for example, whatever thought does come out automatically in us, that also perhaps would indicate. So the effortless thought in the mind, that would indicate what is the most valued thing in my life or what is the most thought of thing in my life. For some people, it may be money, bank deposit, withdrawal, interest, passbook, balance, all that. For a musician, perhaps, he will think of varieties of ragas. You know, we used to have earlier a musician here who passed out, who passed away a couple of years ago, I guess. And he used to work in some office in New York. And he was a musician, but he worked on some other profession. And he used to think, there used to be a background noise of all the machines, various machines in the office. And those background noise would appear to him as B flat in music. So because he's a musician, thinks of only music everywhere. Similarly, if the mind is mathematics soaked, he will think of mathematics. If the mind is Lord soaked, thinking about Lord all the time, then I will think of Lord alone in and through all my vyavaharas. That is what Krishna says here. Ananya chetaha, with his mind fixed on the Lord alone and nothing else. Ananya chetaha. And of course, we are talking about here what kind of Lord? Saguna smaranam only here. Because understand, we are talking about still Krama Mukti. So it is Saguna smaranam only. We should not mix it with Brahman. Brahma arpanam, Brahma havi, Brahma agno, Brahmanahutam. It is not that. Where we talk about Nirgunam Brahma, as in the Jnana Nishta topic, that is. But here we are not talking about that. So it's Sagunam Brahma. So it could be, because we are talking about Upasaka, still a person who is doing Upasana. So Sagunam Brahma all the time, and that is a topic. So Yaha Mam Smarati. When will you think? Nityashaha. Nityashaha means daily, always. We don't have any special day, like a Friday or a Sunday, or once in a year, none of those. For us, every day has to start with Ishvara Smarana. That is our culture. That is why the moment we get up, we chant some shloka or the other. You know, Prataha Uttanakale Smartavya Shloka. we start with, and samudravasane devi, then parvatasthana mandale, vishnupatni namastubhyam, padasparsham kshamaswame. Now I am going to get down from this bed. I am going to now step on you, O Prithivi Devata. I am going to walk on you. I am going to do so much of disturbance to you. Please forgive me. Right from getting up in the morning. Then we think of Prithivi as a Devata, as Ishwara's manifestation, the earth. And I ask for forgiveness for walking and trampling on the earth. Then after Surya Devata is prostrated. Then parents, then the bhaktas. So Prahlada, Narada, Parashara, Pundarika, all those various bhaktas are thought of. Excuse me. So I start with Ishwara Smarana and then only I do everything in my day-to-day life. So the idea is what? Throughout my entire day, the thought should be centered on the Lord only. I should not forget what is the means and what is the end. End should not be converted to means. Like using the Lord for money, getting money. Then what happens? Lord becomes the means and money becomes the end. So Nityashaha. And if he says Nityashaha daily, then somebody might ask the question, in a day also, when should I remember? Day is 24 hours. So Krishna says, Satatam. Satatam means always. Before eating, there is Ishwara Smarana. Whether the breakfast, lunch or dinner. In between, again, there are special prayers like Sandhya Vandana Karma and other shlokas. During the day also, Ishwara Smarana is practiced. And in between, in my mind, constantly, this thought alone is there. And if this training has been given, Ishwara Smaranam becomes a second nature in me. We find our grandparents, etc., even if they stumble on the road, what will they say? Krishna, Rama only. If you sneeze, say Rama. If you sit down and get up, say Krishna. So never say Ayyo, Appa, all those kinds of things. Even during yawning, they will say Krishna or Rama, only those things. So the idea is what? Our mouth should be trained to utter the name of Lord all the time. The very purpose of naming our children itself with Lord's name is for this purpose only. Actually, this is a very beautiful thing. In Tamil Nadu, they have this Vadam. You know, I don't know about other, you know, Telugu, Kannada people also will have similar thing, but I don't know what is the name for that. This is like papad, you know. This Vadam, this is a preparation made of rice, mostly. And they make some kind of a dough and then make small pieces of that and dry it under the sun. And when you fry it and eat it, it is so tasty, very nice. And when they can simply say, give me vadam. But they won't say simply give vadam. They will say, arisi vadam you give me. Arisi vadam means in that Hari and Shiva, both are there together in Arishiva. So just to say, instead of saying vadam, they will say, give me arisi vadam. So that even during something like eating, people will manage to think of the Lord only. So this is how in the entire culture, the remembering of the Lord names has been impregnated all the time. Actually, this entire Ajamila Upakhya, the story of Ajamila. This Ajamila was such a bad person in so many things. He was all so, you know, ill-behaved. But at the time of death, he called one of his sons, whom he named as Narayana, and called him Narayana. And the Lord thought, oh, he is calling me at the time of death. And he sent all the Vishnubalas so that he could be taken to Vishnu Loka, then Yama Loka. So that is the story. So this person has to be remembering the Lord all the time. And what type of person he will be then? Nitya Yuktasya. One who is ever committed to the remembrance of the Lord. Yuktaha means controlled, disciplined. A person who is disciplined. And what is the discipline here? All the thoughts are centered on the Lord only. That is the discipline. And how did he become a Nitya Yuktaha? Yoginaha. Because he was a yogi who has practiced the discipline throughout the life. Because the main feature of yoga is what? Thought discipline. We already have mentioned this. Yogaha is Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. disciplining. Nirodha means disciplining the chitta vritti or chitta sanchara. You have to focus the mind and then make sure the mind does not think about anything else. So for that yogi who has got an ever integrated mind, a focused mind, and whoever remembers that Lord, for such a yogi, aham sulabha, I am easily attainable for such a person. So these are all the various conditions Krishna has put, and finally has told us how it is easy for somebody to get him, to reach him. So karma mukti is easily attainable. So that's what he says. Why? Because remembrance is easy for this person. In fact, forgetting the Lord only is difficult for him. Because right from childhood he has been only practicing the remembrance of the Lord. For him to forget the Lord at time of death is very difficult for him. For example, just as a money-minded person, he can never forget money. Same way, for a bhakta, forgetting the Lord becomes very difficult. Therefore, easily he remembers me, and he easily remembers at the time of maranam also. Marana kale api smaranam, he thinks. Then he attains me also easily. So sulabaha, o partha, o arjuna. Therefore, what the emphasis is on saguna upasana and remembrance of the Lord. And this saguna upasana, actually it serves actually two purposes. Suppose in this life itself, a person is able to come to Vedanta. He has been doing a saguna upasana, but at some point in time in this life itself, he wanted to come into Vedanta Vichara and then did Vedanta Shravanam Mananam and Vidyasanam. Because he already mind is all disciplined and all that things, he is already an eligible person, adhikari, with samadhi, shatka, sampatihi and everything. So for that person to get jivan mukti in this life itself may be possible. He might get it. But if this saguna upasaka, if he could not do that, he can then go to Brahma Loka, and there he has the ability to get karma mukti also, it is possible. So either way, saguna upasana can be practiced by everyone. So that is like that. So it is like a common subject in colleges and all. There'll be somebody would like to specialize in something, but they have to fulfill certain credit requirements. For that, they will take some common subjects. These common subjects, before they decide which major they want to finally major in, what they normally do is they will take several common subjects which are common in and through any major one wants to major in. So that way, this is like that. So like the common subjects in college. So saguna upasana is a common step, both for the nirguna brahma upasaka and jnana, and also for karma mukti. So Arjuna, you may take to saguna upasana. So that is the substance of this shloka. Shloka 15. Mamu petya bhuna punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam naapnuvanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gatah. Now in the following shlokas, Krishna, he will talk about the superiority of karma mukti compared to all other worldly achievements. One has to be very careful here. Superiority of karma mukti, not over jivan mukti. Superiority of karma mukti compared to all other worldly achievements, whether it is birth in a higher loka or any other achievement in this life. And in karma mukti also, what is the destination? It also talks about Brahman only. In jivan mukti also, the destination is Brahman. Only the way is different. In one, a person goes to Brahma Loka, gains knowledge and liberated. In the other, he gets liberated here and now. Where? In the Jivan Mukti. But in both, the destination is Nirguna Brahman only. So in one, Jnanam is attained in Bhu Loka. In the other, Jnanam is attained in Brahma Loka. So Krama Mukti will take a person to Nirguna Brahma. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, in the context of Bhagavad Gita, Brahman is represented by whom? Brahman is represented by Krishna himself. If you take, for example, Shiva Purana, Brahman is represented by Lord Shiva. If you take Vishnu Purana, Brahman is represented by Lord Vishnu. Devi Purana, represented by Devi. So Krishna says, achieving me, is in Bhagavad Gita, he says, achieving me through Krama Mukti is the greatest. Okay. But what we should remember? What about Jivan Mukti here itself then? If Krishna says, attaining me through Karma Mukti is the greatest, then what about Jivan Mukti? That is not the topic in the 8th chapter at all. In the 8th chapter, we don't talk about Jivan Mukti at all. So when there is a comparison between Karma Mukti and Jivan Mukti, what we will vote for? Certainly Jivan Mukti only, because that alone is superior to Karma Mukti all the time. Because in Karma Mukti, you cannot be happy in this life. It's not guaranteed. Only in Brahma Loka only, one has to go to Brahma Loka after doing all those exercises. And then after reaching Brahma Loka, there if you can get Jnanam, one can go to, again, there he will become Jivan Muktaha. But in Jivan Mukta, in this life, one can gain Ananda here and now. So between Jivan Mukti and Karma Mukti, Jivan Mukti only is superior. But that is not the topic of the 8th chapter, we should remember. So comparison between Karma Mukti and all other worldly achievements. That's what we should compare here. So Krishna says, those who attain me through Karma Mukti are superior. Why they are superior? Because Punarjanma na vidyate. They don't get Punarjanma again. Maam upetya Punarjanma na apunuvanti. After attaining me, means what? Nirgunam Brahma. Through Karma Mukti. Through Vaya Brahma Loka. Punarjanma na apunuvanti. They should not attain rebirth. Another body they will not take. And what type of body it is also? Dukkha Alayam. What a description of the body. An abode of Dukkham. It's an abode of Dukkham. Because it has got what? All the Shat Vikaras. Asti, Jagate, Vardate, Pranavate, Apakshete, Vanashati. All those Vikaras it has. It is undergoing constant change all the time. And because of the change alone, all types of problems come. So body is considered a Dukkha Alayam. And if we take Punarjanma as the world in general, for example, if you take the entire world as Punarjanma, then we will say that the world is Dukkhalayam also. Body is Dukkhalayam. If you take the entire world also like this, the world is Dukkhalayam because of Raga Dvesha, fighting, terrorism, everything is happening in the world all the time. If you read the newspaper, full of, not even one day passes out without some struggle in some part of the world. So why it is called Alayam then? Dukkha Alayam, because it is not in any other sense. Alayam, normally we use it for a temple, right? Alayam. In Alayam, what is really happening there? The Lord is present all the time. Alayam is a place where Lord is present all the time. We don't have to do any avahanam of the Lord. You don't have to invoke the Lord because He is supposed to be present all the time. But suppose if you do a puja in some other place, then what we do? We keep a vigraha or a picture and then we invoke the Lord temporarily. So we do some avahanam there. Then we do the puja. And after the puja, what do we say? Yathasthanam pratishtapayami. So we again ask the Lord to go back to His abode. So therefore, that place cannot be called an alayam because Lord's presence was only temporary. I invoked the Lord, asked Him to go back and that's it. So, Alayam means a place where a Lord, the deity, is ever present. And now, think of the world. When we say about the world as a Dukkha Alayam, Dukkham is present in the world, family, Shariram, every time, all the time. So, Dukkham is present all the time in all these places. Daily, one complaint or the other. So, Dukkhasya Alayam, Nitya Vasasthanam, this place. So, daily, one complaint. So the word Alayam is not used in the sense of sanctity, but as Nitya Vasasthanam here. Not as sanctity as in the case of the temple, but as a Nitya Vasasthanam, the place where it is there permanently. Okay. And why do we say it is as Dukkha Alayam? Why should we not? Because we have pleasures also. There are a lot of pleasures in the world. Krishna says, yes, they are there, but it is Ashashvatam. Only in the gap between pains, you have some pleasure. Between the gaps, you have, between two pains, you have gap, and that is some pleasure you enjoy. So it is perishable. It is impermanent pleasures. And such punarjanma na apunavanti. Janma with such kind of pleasures and pain you will never get. And who does not attain that? Mahatmanaha. Upasakas. Here Mahatmana is not jnani. Mahatmanaha refers to upasakaha. All these upasakas who practice upasana throughout the life and also at the time of death and attain kramamutti. So those people who go through shuklagati, we already saw sushumna, nadi, shuklagati, all that we already mentioned earlier. We are going to talk about in detail shuklagati and all later also. So if they do not come for punarjanma again, then what happens to those people? Paramam samsiddhim gataha. They have attained the greatest goal, paramam gataha, of life, which is called moksha, samsiddhihi. Samsiddhihi means achievement. So parama means the greatest achievement in the form of moksha they have attained. Through what? Through kramamukti. Sloka 16. Ah, brahma bhuvanan lokaha punaravartinorjuna mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. We'll stop with this shloka for today. So here Krishna shows the contrast between himself, the ultimate goal, and all other goals of the world. And what is the contrast? Reaching the Lord, there is no punarjanma. Whereas reaching any other loka, there is punarjanma. So lokaha punaravartinaha he Arjuna. All the lokas, there are 14 of them, especially the 7 higher lokas, Bhuhu, Bhuvaga, Subhaga, all those up to Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. So the happiness is higher and higher, qualitatively and quantitatively, in all these lokas. Compared to Bhuloka, Bhurloka is higher, Suvarloka is even higher. So it is like that, compared qualitatively and quantitatively it is higher. Not only that, even all the local pralayas here, all the pralayams and all, in the pralayam itself there are several gradations. And Mahapralaya, all those things, this is the final pralaya. And we find in higher lokas, the pralayas and all which happen in the earth, even they don't affect those places. So even if the entire solar system perishes, in those lokas, there is no effect. It is believed, according to mythology. So the longevity is more, quality and quantity of pleasure is more. They are all superior lokas. But Krishna wants Arjuna, however superior they may be, punaravrittinaha. Nowhere you can get permanent stay. Entry itself is difficult. So many questions they ask at the interview. Do you have a return ticket? Who takes care of you? Who pays your air bill? What are your assets here? And how many children you have? What are the binding? What guarantee? Before you get a visa to come to US. Every person goes through all these interviews. All these questions are asked. And somehow one manages. Person may get 3 month or 6 month kind of a visa to come to America and then go apply. That is in this simple loka. What to talk about all these higher lokas? Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, and all Brahmaloka. And what is going to happen? The moment you reach and enjoy, when the enjoyment is more, you are going to suffer also more. This enjoyment will go away soon. So, tetam buktvam, svargalokam vishalam, kshine punye, martyalokam vishanti. Arjuna, no sane person will vote for a better environment. There is a story. There was this guy who was sitting in some higher loka and enjoying all the, you know, beautiful dances and all the other things, Urvashi, Rampa, all these celestial damsels were all dancing, singing. Everywhere there is only, you know, happiness, all the things. He doesn't know what is, hunger or anything, suffering, anything at all. Everything is all very, ambience is so nice, fully air conditioned. And suddenly he found this Urvashi kicking one guy out straight. She came straight to him and kicked him out, who fell down suddenly. This guy said, what? He was enjoying with me, all of us, who was also enjoying the music and all the dance and everything. He didn't do any harm. Why did you push him out? And she said, don't worry, you have another week. Because your punya balance will be exhausted in another week, you will get the same thing. So the moment your punya balance goes away, one has to get down. So, kshine punye, martyalokam vishanti. So, Arjuna, No sane person will vote for a better environment. We will require a better environment for transactions. That is true. But for pleasure, if we depend on an environment, then it will be only a tragedy. So Krishna says, Lokaha Punaravartinaha He Arjuna. Then what about Brahma Loka? Because Abrahma Bhumanat, Krishna says, up to Brahma Loka, including Brahma Loka. And remember, this Brahma Loka also is same as Vaikuntha Loka or Shiva Loka. The highest Loka you may name, any of those, doesn't matter. Our answer is what? If there is a Loka in which you enter, you will have to come back. If you have to enter somewhere, you have to exit from that place also. That is the road. So, Abrahma should include any blessed Loka. It does not matter. Okay. Then one may ask a question. You only said that from Brahma Loka, a person can get Krama Mukti. So, now it looks like a contradiction. Because you said you go to Brahma Loka, you can get Krama Mukti from there. Now you are saying, no, that also is not permanent, you have to come back. Remember, in Brahma Loka also, it is a world of return only. It is not permanently guaranteed. In Brahma Loka also, if you should not return, what should be the condition? He has to get Brahma Jnanam in Brahma Loka. And through Brahma Jnanam, he attains oneness with Brahman. Whereas, if Brahma Jnanam is not attained, any Loka, you have to return only back. But in Brahma Loka, the atmosphere is very conducive to gain such a knowledge. Because Brahmaji himself will give you that knowledge. And the environment is so nice, nothing to worry about. Concentration could be very good. So all those environment could be very nice, would facilitate a person to focus and then do Nididhyasana and all very well. But still he has to gain the Jnanam himself. So that is the idea here. It's a very, very subtle difference. So in Manushya Loka, if you get Brahma Jnanam, there is no question of Punarjanma at all. So from Manushya Loka, one can go to Swarga Loka. In Swarga Loka also, if one does not get Brahma Jnanam, then he has to come back only. Suppose in Swarga Loka, I manage to get Brahma Jnanam, then I can be liberated. So same with Brahma Loka also, or any higher Lokas does not matter. No Brahma Jnanam, one has to come back. So the only route to moksha is through self-knowledge, Jnanam. And what about Vaikuntham? For example, I say I go to Vaikuntha Loka, or Shiva Loka, Kailasa Loka, same there also. There, maybe we may be able to learn from Mahavishnu himself the Brahma Jnanam. But still, one has to get the Jnanam oneself, even if the teacher teaches very well. So if not, after Vishnu Loka Api, one has to come back. Same with Shiva Loka, same with Brahma Loka, anything. So what Krishna says is, without Atma Jnanam, even Brahma Loka is only a returnable loka. That is why those who get to Brahma Loka, they are divided actually into two sections. So we'll go to Brahma Loka also. One set of people had gone with the desire of moksha. So throughout this janma, they have practiced upasana. Aim was moksha only. And such people, when they go to Brahma Loka, they get an opportunity for Atma Jnanam. So that is one class of people. And there is this other class of people, and they will gain, attain Krama Mukti and leave. And the other set of people who want to go to Brahma Loka for pleasure's sake, because superior pleasures, they can get a lot of superior pleasures there. So their upasana had been Sakama Upasana. They will go to Brahma Loka, enjoy all the pleasures in Brahma Loka, and once the Punya balance goes down, then they will come back. Whereas Mam Upetya, if you attain me through Brahma Jnanam, whether it is Manushya Loka, Swarga Loka, or Brahma Loka, does not matter. Punarjanma na vidyate. You do not have Punarjanma at all. Okay, what Krishna says is, when you attain me, there is no Punarjanma. So to which Loka they should go to attain me, the Krishna? Because me in Bhagavad Gita is Krishna, right? So to which Loka they should go to attain Krishna? There is no such a thing as Krishna Loka at all. You have to be careful. Attaining me means what? Is the understanding aham nirgunam brahma asmi. That is the knowledge. Attaining Krishna means, in Bhagavad Gita context, aham nirgunam brahma asmi. by me, the Nirgunam Brahma, is what is meant here. And Krishna, the Nirgunam Brahma, is not in a loka, but he is the all-pervading Brahman, in whom all lokas are there. He is not in any one loka, he is the all-pervading Brahman, in which all lokas are there. And so attaining Krishna is knowing Aham, Krishna Paramatma Asmi, that knowledge. So Chaitanya Rupaha, Krishna Paramatma, Aham Asmi Iti Jnanam. So self-knowledge is attaining Krishna. It is not going to some Krishna Loka physically or anything, it is self-knowledge. And why do we say so? If Krishna is also attained through another loka, then Krishna also will be another finite God. There also Nivritti will be there. If Krishna becomes a person and sitting in a loka, like Krishna consciousness people and all, you know, that's what they normally say. Krishna loka, go loka and all that. If there is such a loka, we are relentless in that also. Even in that loka, we'll be spatially and time-wise limited. You will have to come back also. So Krishna is Brahman, all-pervading. It is nothing but you. That Advaita Jnanam, Mayeva Sakalam Jatam. So that is the final conclusion that King Krishna wants to communicate through that sloka, sloka number 16, and we will continue sloka number 17 in the next webinar. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.